Edge Radio On Demand is made possible by Profile Coffee, located at 15 Portwalk Place in downtown Portsmouth, and online at ProfileCoffeeBar.com. Rediscover coffee at Profile Coffee.
It's Portsmouth Radio 5-0. Man, we got a party in here.
We do.
We have Steve.
Hi.
Who is, how do you refer to it? It's K9 Max and his partner, Steve. Is that how you do it, Rochelle?
Yeah. Max comes first.
I just hold the leash.
I bring Max toys and I don't bring Steven.
And we got a bonus this morning. We have newbie Joe.
Yeah, Joe. Hi, you can't call him that. Only cops can call other cops newbies.
Steve said I could.
All right. Well, Steve wins. He's an FTO. Field training officer.
I'm his boss for today.
So now you're learning the community efforts that happen. This is like one of the things that we do. So we do this every other week. We come in here and we talk about different aspects of the department and what everybody is up to. So I've been looking forward to this one because we got to meet K9 Max.
That's right.
So
thanks I met Joe on a community event, actually.
Did you?
At Citizen Police Academy when he was at the jail. I should have just said I met Joe in jail. That would have been a much better story.
Yeah, right?
Doesn't everybody want to know that funny story?
You had to be all official about it.
He was working there and I was like, oh, he should be a cop. And then boom, here he is.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, psychic.
Would you wave your magic wand?
Coming here?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, hey, he should be. He was probably already in the process. And, you know, it's just, you know, just a little backstory.
So, Steve, let's talk a little bit about Max for a second. So, you said we were talking about this a little bit off the air. You've been with him for about 3 years now, and he's been with the department that long?
Yep. I got him in August of 2014.
Okay. And so, and he came from?
So, he was born in Belgium originally.
Mm-hmm.
Once he got a little bit of training, he was shipped over to Florida at Robbie Farm K9, and then we picked him up shortly thereafter.
Now, and a lot of the K9 officers actually come from Germany, right?
Yeah, Portsmouth PD traditionally imports our dogs. So most of them are either German or Dutch. There's some French dogs out there, too. Yeah, but most of them are imported.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying there was a little bit of a language barrier for you because his commands were actually Dutch and not German.
Right. Yeah. When we first got him, a lot of the guys that I trained with only spoke German, so it was a little bit different. He spoke Dutch when I got him. I had to switch him over to some German, so he's like trilingual now.
How old was he? Was he like a little puppy size?
He's never been a puppy size. He's huge.
He's a K9 Max is a big dog. You can't see that on the radio, but he is a big dog.
Yeah, he hovers right around 90 pounds. He's probably a little bit leaner right now, probably close to like 85, 87 pounds. But yeah, he's a big guy. He was 14 months when I got him. So he was kind of a puppy. He was all ears and paws.
Well, he's still all ears.
Yeah.
Do you get to like look at a magazine and pick out a picture? Like, how do you pick him?
That's a good question. So yeah, you get props. You get a sticker for that.
Thank you. I get a thumbs up. Gold star.
So it's actually, I related a lot to like to sports, professional sports. So the vendors will put out, and when I say vendors, I mean there's across the country there are a ton of people that sell police dogs. So they'll put out on their websites or whatever kind of just a couple pictures and what these dogs might be good at. So they might breed dogs specifically to be EOD dogs or bomb sniffing dogs or specifically for personal protection or whatever. So we kind of look nationwide. We look all over the place and it's almost like car shopping too to a degree. So you see, oh, that one looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. So start looking into them. In his case, he was my second choice. Don't tell him that.
Keep chewing, Max. Don't pay any attention. Keep chewing on that bone.
So I emailed Robbie Farm and he had another dog, Diego, that looked awesome. And basically, they sent us a ton of video. So that's where it relates to sports. Mm-hmm. We see a ton of film of them doing everything that they've been trained to do. And you're like, you try to pick out traits that work for him or work for the department. So I'm like, yeah, Diego's awesome. And he had sold him that day. So he's like, but I have this other dog that if you love Diego, you'll love this one. His name was Mafia when I first got him.
That would have been a great top name.
It's K9 Mafia.
It's so typical Belgium right there. It's like,
what's up, Max Soprano?
That's the best thing. I Googled that up and down. I'm like, it's got to mean something else. But no, it's just Mafia.
That is great.
Just a name they picked.
So he showed me a ton of video on him and instantly fell in love with him.
Yeah.
And so I went down to Roanoke, Virginia. I met Robbie halfway. He came up from Florida. I went to Virginia. And I spent a weekend with Max. We basically test and evaluate him then. So it's all how he interacts with me. At the time, Scott Pearl was the other canine. So interacts with Scott. He was virtually our trainer. So Scott did a lot of work with him. And the dog was great. instantly. Scott's dog Steele was down there with us.
Yeah.
Steele and Max got along great right off the bat. They accidentally met each other. That was rookie handler error on my part. He got loose and ran right up to Steele, and we're like,
what's gonna happen?
Right. They were fine. So all indications were that Max was gonna be a good dog, and it worked out.
Sounds very similar to Match.com.
Right.
It's not. I'm sitting here like, wait a minute, all right, check a bottle of
ISO. Line.
You go on a first date, like everything's, you know.
He's got a whole bio, woof woof, bark bark.
Right. Like, oh. I like big ears.
He looks like the
searching
same as
for
the
drugs.
Picture. Right. The same as the picture in person. It's like, okay, you actually look like the picture, right? We're good.
Not getting catfished by my dog.
So had you worked with canines before?
No, he's my first.
Okay. Yeah. So, and what has that experience been like over the last 3 years, sort of taking on? I mean, it's a whole different aspect of police work, really.
Yeah, I was telling Joe yesterday that it's almost not even a job anymore. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I got him, he had been doing this since he was born. So, you know, they you get them at a certain level as a new handler where they're better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And they already know a lot of the stuff. I don't know anything. So he loses some of his skills while I come up. And then over the last 2 years or so, you start to grow together and you kind of. So it's been a huge learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing people often overlook is that he's with me 24/7.
Right.
So it's not just the 10-hour shift every day. It's 10-hour shift. All right, then we have to go home. Then I have to do stuff with him at home. My days off, on vacation.
Yeah, what does he like to do in his spare time? What does Max do when he's not working?
This.
Well, I like to know.
I think it's fascinating because really, these dogs, once you get them, are in a constant state of training, really.
Yes, absolutely.
And the bond, you know, is pretty right. Pretty.
Yeah, you never stop. That's the thing. Every single day there's training. And that's pretty much the nature of canines. So, you know, you might see a weakness that he has on a call or something, and you're like, all right, I need to work on that. So then you harp on that and you get him great at it again. Well, in the meantime, you've neglected something else maybe. So it's a constant game of like catch up, keeping them sharp, because that was the hardest part for me with canine. It's like when you get called in, because we're on call 24/7, you might have a building with a door smashed in, a burglary, and no one saw the bad guy. So you get called in and they just go find him. And it's like a 720 world. You have no idea which way this guy went or whatever. And you have to trust that his nose and your ability. It's crazy. And that was very stressful when I first started the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you get the call to go look for drugs. And they're like, yeah, I think he might have drugs in his car or something. Well, I have to be able to tell if he does for sure or doesn't for sure. Because it's going to change this person's life drastically. You know,
mm-hmm.
depending on what his nose does.
So you really have to know his signs too, and just know him as, you know,
yeah.
not even because he can't talk to you, so he has to show you things. Right. But
yeah, it takes a lot.
Know how to interpret it, you know.
Right, and every dog's different. So
yeah. Right.
Like for instance, Max is a very clean drug dog. He's a good drug dog. So what he's supposed to do, he's called passive alert. So when he smells drugs, he's supposed to sit. So you'll see his nose kind of touch where the drugs are as close as he can possibly get. Then he'll sit. He does talk to me, though, because he'll sit and then he'll look right at me and bark. He's
right.
Like, hey, dummy, the drugs
are
right here.
For real. Yeah.
So, like, his nose, you just talked about his nose and picking up on drugs. Like, how different is the dog's nose or smell compared to, like, a human's? Or
You're going to be sick of hearing this analogy.
I love Matt.
We just finished up the Cops with Kids demos, so
right.
I've given this analogy three times in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, consider me a kid, and I'm sitting here with cops. Go.
So
put your junior police badge on, Megan.
So their noses are about 10,000 times stronger than ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so the analogy that we use, which is a great one, I can't take credit for it. I think Eric Kinsman came up with it, but if you think of the smell of a cheeseburger, we all know what a cheeseburger smells like. When you walk in the room, you're like, oh, yeah, it's a double quarter pounder with cheese, whatever. Max can smell each individual ingredient and pick out each ingredient. So he can smell the patty, he can smell the buns, he can smell pickles, every single piece of that and pick it out. So that's how we do drug work. That's how we do tracking. That's the whole foundation of what he does. You know, if you bring him into an open field, that field smells like a field. But where the person walked doesn't smell like you smell, oh, that's disturbed, that's broken blades of grass. He can smell that difference mm-hmm. in odor. He can smell the dirt turned up. He can smell the actual physical human odor, just the trace amount that's on that stuff. And that's how he works.
And I think it's also important to note, too, that for the most part, for the dogs, this is, you know, it, for lack of a better way to put it, fun for them.
It is.
You know, it's like, yes, they are working dogs, but, you know, I mean, this is fun for them. This is not, you know, the training and all of that sort of stuff like that. It's not meant to be grueling or anything like that or hard on the dogs.
Not at all. And, you know, people, you know, they do get corrections when they mess stuff up. And for some people that aren't used to disciplining their dogs, it looks rough. But in reality, it's all a game for them. And that's how they've been raised right from day one. So we're not hurting the dogs. We don't ever hurt the dogs. We try to use positive reinforcement as much as we can versus compulsion, which is pain compliance. But yeah, when he goes out to do training, regardless of what it is, he's trying to find either this ball, his tug, or we have towels that we use for drug training.
Yeah.
So he's trying to find a toy because he wants to come play with me. So he's going to work his butt off until that happens.
Plus, you have a lot of responsibility aside from any other pet owner with having a dog like out in the public, you know, as a police officer dog, too, to make sure that he's disciplined enough so he doesn't hurt somebody or somebody goes to pet him and he doesn't get bit or he bites when he's supposed to bite and all those liabilities. So you really have to make sure, you know, he's quite disciplined and listens to you know, especially under stress and trauma, which a lot of animals aren't subjected to day to day like we are.
Right. You know, he's got to have that clear head. Just sitting here in this room all the way till when gunshots are fired and I'm trying to tell him to do stuff. And at the end of the day, he is trained to bite people.
And he's part of his job. Is he a cert dog too? Like a
Yeah, we use him on the SWAT team too.
Yeah, yep. Neat.
And in if I understand correctly, because I've been, you know, exposed to the whole working dog thing before, it's like they have a command that says they need to bite, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They're
please don't use it.
Wait a minute. Just let me know what the command is.
That's why
I need to use it.
That's why Rochelle brought that bone in. He's not going to listen to a thing right now. He's going to chew on that.
Right.
Yeah, so they do, but there are also circumstances where he knows that it's kind of free game. So they're free thinking, too. They have free will to a degree.
Mm-hmm. Like, I would imagine if somebody tried to hurt you or he saw you go down and somebody on top of you, like, you don't need to tell him, hey, Max, come bite.
Exactly.
You know, he's going to...
Or like
my dad.
We kind of explained like a building search scenario. We were talking about it off the air a little bit. So when I do a building search with them, say there's a door kicked in and I'm going to put him in the check, I scream at the top of my lungs, this is a police canine. If you're in the building, come out now or you're going to get bit. So I give warnings and then most of the time he's on lead, but sometimes if it's a complicated building, he'll search the building off lead and he's, for lack of a better term, on like a search and destroy mission. He's going to bite somebody if he finds them hiding.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't necessarily get a bite command there. He just knows that, all right, gloves are off.
Right.
This is a real deal.
I got to do my job.
Right.
Yeah. Or so, I got to go have fun. I got to go find my toy.
Right.
So for Joe, right? How much more attention do you get when you're riding with the canine officer than just with the regular training officer?
I mean, you know.
Everybody wants a dog. Everybody.
Yeah. It's funny because anywhere we've been the last couple days, you know, everybody looks at the dog, wants to see the dog, and that's kind of mostly what their attention's on. You know, but it's great training for me too, because I get to see how they interact and kind of how they work together.
Yeah.
And it, you know, hopefully in turn will make me a better police officer as I go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like it's a lot of work, and you know, you have to be pretty disciplined with the public and the you know, the canine itself. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working when we have to work with Steve. If Steve has to do a search, something, we kind of have to know what to do as officers too, not to disturb the scene or get in the way or
that was another learning curve for me. So I just work patrol. I've never been in detectives or anything like that. I'm on the SWAT team too, but when we get called to a scene, we basically take over, and the policy is even written that way. So if I'm there to try to find a person, in theory I'm running the show. I have to coordinate. So not only am I paying attention to him, but now I have to be like, all right, you need to go here, you need to go this way, because we're moving this way. So it's kind of cool. You have a little bit more responsibility than the average Joe.
You have to flex a different part of your brain.
Yeah,
basically, you know, if you're
like
trying to assess the situation.
Megan knows. She's got a couple kids. Everybody, stop. Check it out. So, how long will you have? I'm like, when do they retire?
So he'll work as long as he's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually, I mean, I know dogs that are 10 plus years old. Some make it till about 7, but we kind of between 7 and 10 is like the norm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now Max is one of two canine
officers. Max and Axe.
Yeah, we have Max and
Axe.
We have Max and Axe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. And so, and Max is specifically trained to search for people and for narcotics, correct?
Yeah. He's what we call dual purpose. Most That's kind of the trend through the U.S. There used to be a lot of single-purpose dogs that would just do tracking or just do drugs or whatever, and we trained through Boston PD. And Boston PD's mentality, which is on par with kind of the rest of the country, is that every dog is going to be dual-purpose. So it makes sense. You get more bang for your buck.
Right.
But yeah, he does people and drugs.
That's absolutely awesome. Well, it's obvious that you enjoy 100% what you're doing. You know, I mean, it's been a learning experience for you, and
yeah, it's fun. It's yeah. totally different. And honestly, I don't think the boss is like hearing this, but I would do this for the next 20 years if I could. You know,
right?
I'm good with being. I
think they would. Well, and they would appreciate that.
To be honest, I've talked to a lot of officers who have canines working with them, and I think that is the general energy. Yeah. You know, that they would hang out with the dogs forever.
Yeah, you know? Get your partner forever. It's awesome.
You have right? to,
you know.
You know, the couple days that I've been to work, or I've driven my cruiser anyways, that and he hasn't been in the back, you're lonely. Even if he's, because like it's yeah. weird. Like you do talk to
I
him.
Don't
when
have
he,
any
like,
barking right. in the background.
You don't hear him breathing.
Right. Yeah. It's just little stuff.
Oh, yeah. How often does that happen?
Very infrequently.
Yeah.
Pretty much if I'm in my car, like if I go to court or something, I might not take him. But pretty much all the time.
What do you have in the back of the car? Because it's, you know, obviously it's summer and everybody gets worried about pets and animals being in the cars. So
thank
what?
You. I wanted to give oh. a public service.
I wasn't even prompting you. It was just a real question.
So this is a question I get quite frequently, and I'm going to answer it for everyone out there. Yes, my air conditioner is on. People get very nervous about Max because he's in the car all the time. The right. AC is on. The cars are very well equipped to deal with heat. So the car itself has an alarm in it. So it has two settings, either 87 or 93, I think is the other one. But if it gets over a certain temperature, the horn honks SOS. The back windows roll down. One of the windows has a fan in it, which will blow cooler air on them. And I also wear a pager, so it'll tell me that the car is too hot.
Oh, that's awesome. Because it's tinted windows, so you can't like look in, I think, sometimes, the which is good.
Yeah, that's, you know, but, well, that's part of the heat yeah. control, too. We get awesome. The windows, and a lot of people, some people aren't happy about that necessarily, but the windows are very dark, and that's solely to keep the UV rays out. That's all 100% for him. It's not for looking cool or anything right. like that.
And isn't there is a release you have for him, too, that if you're away from the vehicle and he's in the vehicle and you need him,
yep. push button.
Yeah, right. One of the doors on the car is spring-loaded, basically, so if something goes down, you can push it and he'll come flying out.
That's awesome. Now you know you're in trouble.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, Max.
I don't know why. I just always thought that was the coolest gadget part. It's like, yeah, the fans, the cooling, and all that stuff like that was so cool. You can hit the button and, right. you know.
A lot of people do. They don't. A lot of people don't realize we have that until it happens. They're like, oh, that's awesome.
Should we ask Max a question? Can we get Max to talk?
You can try. He's probably not going to listen right now.
Oh, because I screwed it up and gave him a bone. Max.
Hey, buddy. Come here. He's like, no, I'm busy.
Yeah. It's like, I got a bone, man.
It was funny because during Cops and Kids, there was one of our lieutenant's daughters was at Cops and Kids, and all the kids asked questions. And she's like, what would happen? Who would find Max if he got lost?
That was one of the good questions.
That's a great question,
we're all
though.
Stuff. We're like, I don't know.
What?
See, he's really here.
That's awesome.
Oh, he's a great dog. And I think the whole working dog portion of police departments is an absolutely amazing thing and such a great tool. And it's awesome to hear all the positivity yeah. and even the energy coming from you. You're like, I could do this forever.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know,
it's a totally different job. Like right. I wear the same uniform, but a majority of the time when I get out of the cruiser, I'm not just doing police work. I'm talking to people about him.
Right.
He totally steals the show every time. But
yeah,
it is. It's a great job. And you do a lot of good, which is different. You're finding people. You're like, not just writing tickets all the time, you know, which I like it. I love it. So.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being here, Joe. Thank you for joining us this morning and hopping on the air and letting me call you newbie. Oh,
absolutely.
I did it again.
No problem.
Oops.
Megan, don't drive through Portsmouth. I'll tell you what she drives. Yeah. Be like, remember hey, me, now. Newbie?
Wait,
what's
wait,
up?
Wait. You've had my back. Now, when did this line get drawn?
I'm just kidding.
She wants her own show.
I know. No. I'm confused. I'm torn.
So we do Portsmouth Radio 5-0 every other week. And, of course, we talk to various officers from the different departments within the department, that which is the Portsmouth Police Department. And I thank you all for being here this morning.